We're in Romans chapter 14. We're going to begin 14, and we're going to be talking about weaker brothers, stronger brothers. It always surprises me what God says, what God's word says is weak. It just always amazes me. But you know, our problems are we want others to think like us and act like us. Because we're weak, we don't want to admit it, but we're weak, and so we want others to be weak there too. So if you don't do like us, you're not holy. And that's our problem. What we call that in the trade is pride. That's what that is. Isaiah 14. You see the five I wills of Satan. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." See, it's pride. This is what I want for myself. This is what I want people to think. This is the way I want people to be, wants to be worshipped. The five I wills. Pride is going to has caused that in him. Pride will destroy us as well. And so as you begin to read chapter 14, begin it with that kind of thinking in mind. Pride is going to destroy us. Pride is going to be what our problem has become. Now look at this. Him that is weak in the faith, receive. You receive him, but not to doubtful disputations. Him that is weak in the faith, you receive, but not to doubtful disputations. Weak means literally feeble or powerless or without any strength. There are some who are in the faith, they are born again, but they are powerless. They are very weak. They're not growing, and they are powerless. Well, doubtful disputations. We are to accept all. Every one of us are to accept each other. Even the ones that are weak in the faith. The ones that are really feeble or powerless in the faith. Doubtful disputations simply would mean this: quarreling over opinions. You know, in other words, you're welcome, but you've got to change. How often has it been said to you, "Well, you could come to our church, but don't wear that." Well, you could attend our fellowship, but you'll need a haircut or a shaver, or you know, don't wear all those things pierced through your ears and through your cheek there. No, wait a minute. We're to receive them, but not to doubtful disputations. Welcome to our church, but you've got to change. I remember going to a church where one of the ushers, they would pass the collection plate, and one of the ushers was an engineer he was a driver of a train. That's what you call an engineer. When I say engineers, people think, you know, rocket scientists. No, he drove a train for a living, and he was a little over 6'9". And he was proportionally built. I mean, he wasn't really skinny and tall. He was just huge. He looked like a train. I asked him, I said, "Do you drive it or just carry it from spot to spot?" He was big, and he would come to church, and he was the neatest guy, and he had big beard, big long hair, huge, monstrous individual. And almost every Sunday, I think he wore the same T-shirt. He had money, but he wore the same T-shirt. A big Coors T-shirt with a big Coors beer can on it. And he would pass that collection plate around, and you'd put stuff in it, even if it was your shoes. You didn't care. Just stick something in there, man, or he's going to hurt you. He was the nicest guy. And oh, did we receive the complaints? People would call the church, "I'm never coming back." Why? One of the ushers had a beer shirt on. You read through your Bible, and you will not see, really, too much according to what should be written on your shirt. You won't. You try it. You see what I mean. Now, your shirt is your business. We shouldn't be receiving people to doubtful disputations. Everybody should be welcome. And I think we say it, but do we mean it? Come just as you are. There's a song that if you've ever been to a Billy Graham crusade or watched one on the television or by video or listened on the radio, you hear that the choir is going to sing one more verse of what? "Just as I am without one flea," right? Right. And that, what does it mean? It means just I'm coming. Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am right now. If you will accept me, I come. And that's what we're told. Him that is weak in the faith, you receive, but not to quarreling over opinions. Now, what the Bible calls sin, you and I should and must call sin. But some things are a matter for each individual. Some things really do come down to opinion. When the Bible says it's sin, it is sin. But when the Bible doesn't say it, what is it? For instance, I know none of you do this, but many churches still have a problem with co-ed swimming. Is it right to have men and women swimming in the same lake together? You laugh and say, wait a minute. Some people say no. What does the Bible say about co-ed swimming? You're going to spend years trying to find it. It ain't there. How about roller skating? Is it a sin? Because I know young people who attend churches that today still teach that roller skating is a sin, because in roller skating, sometimes men and women will hold hands, even if it's just to help each other stay up. That's a sin if they're not married. How about co-ed birthday parties where men and women, or young men and women, how about junior hires, go to the same place and eat, say, the same cake that a boy might be eating off of? How about that? What does your Bible say about it? Oh, how about this one? This is a biggie. How about co-ed dormitories? Where there could be girls living in the room down the hall and guys living in the room down the other side of the hall. What about co-ed graduations? How about smoking? How about co-ed youth camps? Is it a sin? I think you're going to find everybody's got an opinion. And depending upon who you talk, of course, everybody wants you to do it their way. But you know, I think that you're going to notice, look who the weaker are. One believes he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eats only vegetables. Sorry, that's what it says. That's what it says. I can't help it. Oh, you let that sink in a moment. Now I'm just being silly, but you know the Bible is clear on this. Let me say something that may shock you. I don't normally do that, but in this case, watch. Those who appear to me be the most morally upright, and those who appear to have the highest standards of conduct, are usually the weaker brothers. Think for a moment. Those who appear to have the highest moral conduct and have the highest moral standards, those usually are the weaker Christians. That's what he says. See, one believes he can eat anything, but some believe they can only eat vegetables. Well, let him that eats despise not that him that doesn't eat. Let him that which eats not judge. I'm getting confused here. There's a not in there. Let not him which eats not judge him that eats. I like this King James Version. I don't know why you use anything else. Man. For God receives him. You see, God receives him. You think about that. The weaker are those who appear to be most morally upright. We all are sinners, but some appear to be morally upright, morally up there. And they appear to have higher standards of conduct. Now, what does Colossians 2:20 and 20 through 22 tell you? You remember that, don't you? If you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances like touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men? Think about that. We are weak. And we're weaker than we think. And the Bible specifically says, why you judge? Don't judge. Don't judge either way because, why? Because God hath received him. That means God is many times not interested in the things you and I are fighting about down here. Well, as Christians, trying to get each other to act our way, get each other to eat the same way as us, get each other to be the same way as us. People say this, man, I'm glad that you do Friday night services. I am glad you do them because, you know, Sabbath is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And so that just frees me up to, I feel like I'm going on that holy day. And so they come here on Friday nights because we have a Friday night service. That's odd. Most churches don't. And they say, whoa, man, it's holy. That I'm glad you can do that. Well, I go, well, God bless you. And then people call us and say, man, you got a service on Friday? What's it like? Well, it's just a lot like the service on Sunday, only a little bit more because we have more time on Friday to worship and stuff. And they say, man, I can't do it. I can't come on a Friday. Why? Because you just can't go to church on a Friday. It's not holy. It's got to be Sunday. And I think, man, you know, you're going to go to hell because you don't do it on Sunday. I said, well, no, we do it on Sundays too. We're playing all the odds. I just couldn't come on a Friday. I just can't. Great. You're welcome Sunday morning. I can't come on Sundays. That's wrong. But man, thank you for Fridays. Great. We accept all of you. You see, the weaker ones have a specific day. The stronger ones, every day works. Isn't it funny how when we have this appearance of being most morally upright and the highest standards of conduct, and that makes us the weaker. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's true. But God accepts him. Well, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master, he stands or he falls. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. You see, it's best just to quit trying to figure out what everybody else's problem is, because God, if they belong to him, God is going to make them stand. You say, look at them, man, their lifestyles are a mess. Look, oh, I'm glad I don't do that. We just don't do that at our house. But they're loving God, serving God, doing what God wants them to do. And even though they're not doing it your way or my way, they are doing it, and God will make them stand on that day. They'll be standing. You know, there are people in ministry right now that you would never have allowed to get in ministry. It's good that God didn't ask your permission. I would never, myself, I don't think I would ever go to a church and ask them to hire me. Smart thing is just to start your own. Because you go to a church and ask them to hire you, they wouldn't hire Jesus Christ himself. You know, because Jesus was called a wino. He was called a party. He was called, he hung out with sinners. He would never be accepted to the missions program in most any church. And you know that. Neither would Paul, the apostle. Paul the Apostle was a murderer. He had a felony record. Oh, so did Jesus. He was arrested and had a felony record. So did Peter. He would never hire them. Aren't you glad that it's God that does it? See, God is able to make them stand. You would have never chosen Peter to be anything at all, but God said, you feed my sheep, Peter. You see, God is able to make that individual stand. So we need to not judge them. That's what he's telling us. You know, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. All you got to be is fully persuaded in your own mind. Now, if you think that co-ed swimming is not good, you don't have to have everybody else act that way. Just don't go where there are others swimming that are opposite from you. Just live it out in your own life, not trying to take everybody with you in it. That's what the Bible says. Now, some Christians smoke and some Christians don't. And of course, the battle rages. Will it hurt? Will it destroy your health? Yes. Will it change your spiritual life? If you say, well, I think smoking for me would, then you don't do it. Not only for health reasons, but for spiritual reasons. Can a Christian take a drink for an anniversary or because they're thirsty or because it's a special holiday? And if they do, have they now taken three steps down in the eyes of those who looked at them? Oh, I thought, oh, you, whoa. You dance? I don't. I'm a musician. No musician has rhythm. That's why they became musicians. They can't dance. Of course, there is this fight raging. Can Christians dance? I've seen some of them, and I'd say, nope, they can't. Not at all. Answer that question easy. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord. He that regards not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he that doesn't eat to the Lord, he eats not and he gives thanks. You get down and there's that steak and you think, thank you, Lord, man, this steak looks good. Put a little bit of, oh, man, and there's a potato. Thank you, Lord, for this. And then someone else says, thank you, Lord, I'm not putting a cork in my heart. Thank you for the salad. And everybody's happy. But they got to have everybody else doing it. Oh, you're going to eat that steak? Lord, you know where it came from? You're going to eat that salad? Have you seen what dogs do through that neighborhood? And here we go, man. We're going to get everybody. Everybody comes to our side for eating. If you eat anything different, no good. But that's not what the Bible says. None of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. Notice that? None of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. Now, remember the little story about me. We're all in the same boat, but I go down to my bunk, which is right at the very bottom of the boat, and down at my bed, I crawl under my bed, and I start drilling a hole. And you come down, all of you, you complainers, and you say, what are you doing, man? I'm drilling a hole. You're drilling a hole in the boat. Water will come in. It's only coming in under my bunk. It's my bunk. What's going to happen to the boat? It's going to sink. Notice, none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. You can't just go drilling a hole under your bed and sinking the boat and just say, it's my bed. It's not going to hurt you. No, it doesn't work that way. We all are in the same boat, metaphorically speaking, of course. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. So whether we, therefore, we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to Him. See, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Jesus Christ died and rose again for the sins of the world. He died. He paid the price for all of us. However you live it because it's what God has put on your heart. Some things that God will let you do, He doesn't want me to do. Is it wrong for you to do them? No. It's just in my life, things are different. Some things that He wants me to do wouldn't be good for you to do. And everybody needs to seek the Lord in all these areas. For this very reason, Jesus Christ both died and rose and revived. He rose again from the dead, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why do you judge your brother? Verse 10. Why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. To set at naught means to write somebody off. You ever do that? You ever set your brother at naught? You just look at that brother or sister and say, they've got problems. I think the Lord's even telling me. I think I have that gift. I think I know what their problems are. You know, the Lord spoke that to me. They're just a real loser. I think they have trouble. They're having trouble. It's just they've got problems. You know, they don't really understand. They don't really have the Holy Spirit. They are wasting their time. I don't know. That's just her problem. She'll just have to deal with it. First of all, that's not a Christian heart. You've already seen that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the rest of the Bible. That shows you something's wrong with the heart there. It says, oh, well, he's just got a problem. He'll have to deal with it. That's not what the Bible says, the way you would handle that at all. But that's what the Bible says if you're going to write your brother or your sister off. Oh, yeah, that's her problem. I'm not going to deal with him anymore. Forget it. You see, you've stepped out of the will of God. You have stepped out of obedience to the Word of God. And you're setting your brother at naught. And so Paul says this, why do you judge your brother? Why do you set your brother not? Why are you writing that person off? For we shall all stand before. And what does all mean here? All stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. You can read it for yourself. We'll all stand before the judgment seat. All. You will give an account of you to Jesus Christ. I will give an account of me. You will not be required to give an account of your husband. You will not be required to give an account of your wife. You will not be required to give an account of your children or the people that are sitting around you right now. You will be required to give an account for yourself. So you better start thinking hard, and I better start about that very issue, because we'll all stand before the judgment seat. You will not be judged for your sins if you're a Christian. But listen closely. You will be judged according to your works. What did you do with the possessions you had? What did you do with them? What did you do with the opportunities for ministry that God opened specifically for you yourself? You can tell me how others are doing a lousy job with their opportunities, and maybe they are. But, you know, your business really concerns about, I'm going to be standing before Him. What have I done? What am I doing with the opportunities for the ministry that God has opened for me? How about the gifts that He has given to you spiritually? What are you doing with them? I don't use mine because these people aren't worth it. They don't care. Wait a minute. What are you doing with the gifts that you've been given, the spiritual gifts? Because you're going to answer. How about the talents that you were given? Oh, well, you know, I just don't have time. Oh, yeah, I used to do that back in the old days. But, you know, I'm just busy now. I've grown up. Well, fine. But just keep in mind, you will give an account of you. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All of these things I just mentioned, plus more, will pass through the fire. And we'll all then see in each one of us, I'll see what burns up and what doesn't. Because only what's done for Christ with the right heart is going to last. And you don't know your heart. I don't know my heart. None of us do. So you certainly do not know what her problem is. You don't know what his problem is. You're just judging. We don't know what's going on inside there. We have no idea, no clue, proven by the fact that we don't know what's going on inside here. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and who can know it? We don't know. We go, the question is, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and the question is, who can know it? And we usually answer, I know. Me and God, the only two on the earth. No, the answer is, only God knows. You will not be required to answer for that person. So why don't you let them live? Because you and I should be busy doing what we know to be right. They swim in the same lake with girls, those guys. Oh, that's so wrong. Well, wait a minute. If it's wrong to you, stay out of the lake. Swim in your tub. Or about 3 a.m, it's usually not too busy over there at the lake. That's all right. You live what you believe. Live what you believe. See, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set it not your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. I'll give an account for me. That's just the bottom line. That's the way it's going to be. It's the way God set it up. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Live so that your brothers and sisters aren't stumbled by you. Don't be the one that knocks them over. Don't be the one that gives them an opportunity for whatever they are looking for. But instead, you live that they can walk strongly. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Hear that, everybody? You can underline it because that's the truth. There is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. In other words, for you, if to eat meat is just really wrong, then you don't do it. You should not do it. You're going against your own heart, against your own conscience. But if someone else does eat meat, let him eat. But if your brother be grieved with your food, now you are walking not in love. Destroy not him with the meat for whom Christ died. Don't destroy your brother. Verse 14, I know and I'm persuaded that there is nothing unclean of itself. Nothing. But if it bothers someone, then they shouldn't do it. You know, two great preachers publicly rebuked one another. This was quite a while back. Charles Spurgeon publicly from the pulpit rebuked Joseph Parker. What for? For attending the theater, live theater. Charles Spurgeon just rebuked him publicly. Who calls themselves a lover of Jesus Christ would ever go to see a live performance? While Mr. Parker publicly rebuked Charles Spurgeon for smoking cigars. How can you be a servant of the living God and smoke cigars? So they publicly battled. They publicly fought one another. What were they doing? They were disobeying what went on in Romans chapter 14 here. You see, Charles Spurgeon smoked cigars. He didn't have a problem with you doing that. He has a problem with you going to theater. But see, Mr. Parker, he went to theater, but he didn't smoke. So he had a real problem with people that smoke cigars. See, we all know what we're doing is okay. What everybody else doing, they really have problems. They were judging one another. Shouldn't be that way. Do you know that both men were powerfully used by the Lord? Both of them. Yet they publicly fought quite a bit. We shouldn't destroy our brothers. Destroy not him with the meat, with food, for whom Christ died. When I was in the military, in combat situations, when you trained in combat, you worked in a squad. You lived in a squad. You moved as a squad. You played and worked as a squad, as a family. And so the squad, becoming one unit, moved only as quickly as its slowest member. If we had a squad of 12, then we moved through the jungles in combat only as quickly as the slowest one could handle it. Now, we had some men that were very, very experienced in combat. And they could have run circles around some of the guys. But they didn't. You were a team. And so you went as slowly as the slowest one. You know, in the Navy, in a wartime situation, because of submarines, that is the idea behind a convoy. One ship by itself could be destroyed. But if the ships run together, then submarines can be detected and there's some defense. And so in a convoy, there are some battleships. There are some cruise ships. There are a lot of different kinds of ships. There are, it depends on the kind of convoy. You got a lot of different kinds of ships. There may be aircraft carriers. But you see, some of those ships could outrun. But no, in a squad, you move as slowly or as quickly as your slowest member. You see, if any member is separated, it is almost certain death. You've got to stick together. That's just what he said, isn't it? If your brother be grieved with your food, walk. Now you're walking not in love. Destroy not him with your food, for whom Christ died. Think about the others. Put them first. If it bothers somebody that you eat this kind of thing, then don't do that around them. If it bothers somebody that this is going on, then understand that they're a weaker brother or sister and have mercy on them and walk in love. You say, am I supposed to live my life for someone else? That's what Jesus has been saying since the beginning. Yes, you're supposed to even give your life for someone else. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Sure. That's the answer to the question is yes. We should live our lives for others. Now remember, the more experienced and the more agile squad members have to slow down to wait for the slowest squad members, or death is sure. You do not want to destroy your brothers and sisters. You want to stick. We're family. We're the body of Christ. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, the kingdom isn't what you're eating, what you're doing, what days you have off. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify. For food do not destroy the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother is stumbled, or is offended, or is made weak. And so, a lot of times you'll see people in the ministry, for instance us, we stay away from things that would hurt others. If someone knows I'm a pastor and they see me there, they go, what's he doing here? Well, I just won't be there. Is it wrong to be there? Not necessarily for me in my life, but I won't be there because someone say, well, wait a minute, what's he doing here? If it's okay for him to be here, it's okay for me to be here. Now, maybe they have a problem in that area and it'll be terrible for them to be there. So you live your life so that others aren't stumbled. A lot of times people say, is it wrong to do this? You say, not necessarily wrong, but what are others going to see while you're doing it? What is it going to communicate? If it communicates something that's going to hurt them, don't even do it. Well, I'm free in the Lord. Well, why don't you just think about others? That's what he's saying. Verse 22 says, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. You know what that means? Have it between you and God. You have faith? Well, then have it between you and God. Keep it between you and the Lord. And if the Lord has told you, you should not cross streets where there's no crosswalk, then don't. But if somebody else crosses a street, then let them cross. See what happens to them. If the Lord has told you in your heart, oh, it is wrong to roller skate, then great, man, don't skate. Have faith to God. Keep it to yourself. But if others want to go skating, let them go, man, until the Lord puts it on their heart to not skate. Live so that we see the evils of skating, and then maybe we'll stay away from it ourselves. Do you understand the point? Do you have faith? Have it to the Lord, between you and the Lord. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the things which he allows, and he that doubts is damned if he eats. But he that eats not of faith, or because he eats not of faith, for whoever is not of faith is of sin. Put simply, if it's wrong and you think it's wrong and you do it, it's wrong. Someone says, that's situational ethics. No. What the Bible calls sin, we call sin, period. But there are some areas the Bible hasn't spoken to you on, and you need to make some determinations in your own heart. Doing it in love, thinking about others. But we got to stop this judging of one another. You see somebody that's got a talent or a gift, and you say, how come they're not using that for the kingdom? You know, they got a problem. Well, no, let's leave that alone. Let's just use ours for the kingdom. And let God work in that heart. We don't judge. What's a sin? We must call it a sin now. That won't change. So you see, he's showing us how to love each other. Don't judge, because God is going to make you and me to stand. We're going to stand before him on that day. And God is able to make him stand, so we don't judge another man's servant. See, if that person is a servant of the Lord, no matter what you think of them, at the end they're going to be standing. And if you say they'll never make it, you're going to really look silly. So don't say that. Just say, I'll pray for them. If you belong to God, we're praying for you. Do what God's called you to do. Whatever God has laid on your heart, live it. Have that faith to God between you and him. Because you will, and I will. We're going to be discussing it with him someday. And I think that's coming up soon. Read through chapter 14. You get a moment or two. Slowly again. See what it says. Ask God to speak to your heart as well.